This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to another episode of 19 Cats and Counting. I am your host, certified cat behaviorist Rita Reimers, and I'm here with our resident veterinarian expert, Dr. Kelly, who you've seen on the show before, and we're going to be talking about senior moments and understanding feline dementia. Right, we'll come back from this word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting here on Pet Life Radio. I'm Rita Reimers, your host. And we're here with Dr. Kelly. This is a great topic, especially since I have quite a number of seniors in my household. And I have one that I think might be having the early signs of dementia.
Do you? Well, let's talk about it, Rita.
Yeah.
Because we love our cats, right? And as they get older, just like people, they start to do things that are more common with aging. So I'm excited to unpack this with you today.
I'm so glad too. A lot of people misunderstand, you know, senior cats and that they have special needs. I think some people might even be a little bit afraid when they start acting weird. Unfortunately, a lot of people dump their seniors in shelters, which only exacerbates this issue. But does it happen to every cat? Is it a normal process, part of aging, just like with people?
Well, when cats get older, they are absolutely going to be more susceptible to things that are common with age, which would include a bunch of different medical conditions, as well as just a general gradual decline in movements, immune response, organ function, and gradual changes to their behavior that might be related to aging changes in the brain. So, you know, cats, I always like to say, are not small dogs. They're also not small, delightful people, but there is a high level parallel as we age. Now, what is not normal aging? When we've got what's called cognitive dysfunction syndrome, or CDS. This is above and beyond the age-related slowdown that we might see with the speed that the brain is processing information.
How do you tell the difference?
Yeah, well, this is where we actually have what's called a progressive neurobehavioral disorder. So neuro in the brain leads to behavioral changes, neurobehavioral, where we could see it affects memory, awareness, and learning. And in some ways, it does share some similarities to the types of dementia that humans can get. When I think about the key differences, Rita, it's the CDS is really involving structural brain changes that go way beyond what might be typical in normal aging.
How do you detect that that's what's going on? I know, obviously, you have to get your veterinarian involved, but telling the difference between a CDS issue and just a normal aging issue. How do you tell the difference?
Yeah, it's a great question. So behavior history is going to be the first key. So we as vets and as behaviorists, we rely really closely on pet parents' observations over time, noting changes, say, in sleep, in activity patterns, in the normal behaviors of the cat. So that is the first key step. That does not mean if you're noticing that your cat has changes in sleep or changes in activity patterns or eating patterns that your cat has cognitive dysfunction syndrome. It means your cat may, or your older cat may have a lot of other things that could be going on related to getting older. So what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to see your cat. We're going to want to rule out all of the other things that can happen with time. So your vet's going to want to do a full medical workup with a physical exam and some blood and urine tests to make sure that all the organ function is okay And you know what else we're really going to want to do, Rita, is we're going to want to make sure your cat's not in pain. I know we spent one whole session together talking about the prevalence of arthritis or age-related changes to the joints in cats. And that can lead to a lot of the same symptoms, reduced activity, hiding, changes in sleep. So we want to make sure that there's nothing else going on that would be addressed differently. So we're going to try to rule out all of those things.
That makes sense. And cats are so good at hiding pain. If you notice they're in pain, they're really in pain.
That's super true. You know, dogs are going to tell us things often more quickly than cats will. So we definitely need to listen to what our cats are telling us. Subtle changes in behavior or activity levels in a cat can often signify that something major is going on, whether it is pain, whether there's a medical condition going on with one of the organ systems, or whether there is something like a cognitive dysfunction.
Are there other diseases or health issues that kind of look like CDS that aren't besides the arthritis issue?
In addition to arthritis, which you guys have heard me preach about, making sure that your middle-aged to older cat does not have some age-related changes to the joints. Definitely make sure you're talking to your vet about that. You're having a really good physical exam with a mobility exam. We're also going to want to look at kidney disease and urinary tract health. We often will see those problems, which are common in older cats, can impact how they eliminate their litter box usage, their overall health, which can alter behavior. Also, the other common diseases that older cats will get, hyperthyroidism, which I know we've talked about, other liver disease, which we've talked about, any of the organ system diseases can cause either lethargy, depression, or sometimes even restlessness, vocalization, or confusion. The good news is that what we call the basic blood and urine tests that your vet will do on a routine exam are pretty good to rule out most of those medical conditions.
Is it possible that both are going on, though? There's some cognitive decline and maybe there's some kidney function issue.
It is possible. So just like when we get older as people, we can have more than one condition existing at the same time. We can see that with our kitties, too. Your vet's going to be able to get a really good overall handle on what they think is most likely going on, whether that's one thing or potentially multiple things, to be able to make a recommendation for how likely they think your kitty could have cognitive dysfunction. You know, it's also important to remember those other things that have to do with specialized sensory parts of the nervous system that can kind of slow down or not work as well with aging, vision, hearing, etc. So these are also going to be things your vet's going to be looking at to be able to say to you, I think there could be something going on with the nervous system. Your kitty could have some cognitive dysfunction going on, but maybe your vet also is going to want you to see, if available in your area, a neurologist, to just make sure there's not other things going on, like older cats can get brain tumors. So the good news here is that there's nothing to fear. We've got a lot of steps in the diagnostic process to get to the point where your vet's going to be able to say all of these other things are not going on or are less likely. And I think your cat probably has some degree of age-related cognitive dysfunction syndrome going on.
I know here in Charlotte, at Care Charlotte, I have an awesome neurologist, Dr. Farber, that I've seen. I had a cat with neurological issues. She was very young. Turned out he had an infection in his brain stem, toxoplasmosis infection. And we couldn't clear it up, and we ended up having to euthanize him. But it's really important to know where these resources are in your city. So I would definitely research some of that. Is there a certain age where this tends to happen, or can it happen anytime?
Well, since it is something that is progressive or related to aging, we do see it most often in older cats. So the studies tell us that signs become noticeable in most cats by age 10 or greater, and then the prevalence will increase in age. So according to a couple studies, it's estimated that about half of cats that are 15 years or older will have some degree of cognitive dysfunction.
I have one now, my Peanut. His name's Peanut Butter. He was Peanut because he was teeny, and he is big now, so we call him Peanut Butter because he's bread. Anyway, he's 16 now, and he's the cat that loves all the other cats and gives them baths and stuff, and he still does that. But for the past year or so, he'll just suddenly, and sometimes in the middle of the night, start going, wow, wow. And I just go, it's okay, Peanut Butter, and he'll stop. So I think something's starting to go on with him. I'm going to take him in for a senior panel in a couple weeks.
Rita, I think that's a great thing to do and get that test done and have your vet take a look. And it's interesting that you bring up being more vocal. So when we look at some of the earliest signs of cognitive decline in general in senior cats, there's a few things that I want pet parents to really put in their toolkit. One is what you mentioned, becoming more vocal, especially if there's odd hours or like no clear reason. Or maybe even when the owners aren't there, some folks will have like, you know, the indoor ring camera or other ways they can look at their animal.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Couple other things that I want folks to be aware about. If your kitty is seeming confused in a familiar place, that might be something to take note of. If your kitty is forgetting those routines, like I mentioned one a minute ago about the elimination patterns or using the box. If your kitty stops recognizing people who have been familiar to that kitty, having overt, you know, again, elimination problems where now we're house soiling where we didn't.
Right.
Or having a confusion in familiar places. And last but not least, I'd already mentioned the abnormality in the normal sleep-wake cycle. So maybe more waking or active at night, more sleeping during the day. Again, none of these things are specific for cognitive dysfunction syndrome, but they're things that you know your cat, you know that's not normal. So you can have a conversation with your veterinarian, again, to rule out some of the medical things that could also cause those symptoms to determine if we think we've got this cognitive dysfunction going on.
Yeah, it's also not his usual meow. It's more of a guttural thing. And it does tend to happen in the middle of the night some. But he's still, you know, friendly and comes around and he's still friendly with the other cats. But can some of this issue, especially if he doesn't recognize people or maybe other cats, can it cause some like infighting between your kitties if that's going on?
Absolutely. Because, you know, the relationship dynamic with one cat to another, we know, I mean, you're the expert in this here. It gets set and that is the way it is. With those cats and who's kind of in charge in different moments in time with the different things the cats are doing. If there's a noticeable difference in that cat-to-cat dynamic, something is up with one of the two cats.
Yeah, it's very important to know your household, especially if you've got multi-cats, you know, who hangs with who and who doesn't. So if you see those changes, you can be on the alert. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd love to talk about how you treat some of this or if there's some preventative measures even. So we'll be right back after this message from our awesome sponsor.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back again with 19 Cats and Counting here on Pet Life Radio. We're here with Dr. Kelly. We're talking about understanding feline dementia. And we talked about a lot of the signs and symptoms and things to watch for and how to figure out what's going on. But once you know your cat has some cognitive decline, what do you do? What's the next step?
All right. Yeah, because we always want to know what the action plan is. So when you've gone to your vet and your vet says, I've done these basic blood and urine tests, I've done a good physical exam, I'm just not finding a medical reason for these symptoms. Based upon, your vet will also do a neurologic exam. When your vet's doing a physical exam, they're not just listening to the heart, the lungs, you know, feeling the inside of the tummy by doing what we call palpation on the abdomen. Your vet is always doing an orthopedic exam, a mobility exam, looking in the mouth. And believe it or not, your vet is always doing a neurologic exam with the different things they're doing during that exam that you may not even be aware that part of those things your vet is doing when they touch is actually assessing different parts of the cat's neurologic system. So every vet is going to do that at a general wellness exam, definitely if you go in for some concerns. Based upon what your vet is seeing, I mentioned before they might recommend that you go and see a neurologist if one is in your geographic area. Now, that might be because your vet is seeing something where they just want to make sure that a board-certified specialist does not have reason to believe there could be another primary problem in the brain. So you mentioned certain infections, like your kitty had toxo, and I'm sorry to hear that. Also, again, older cats can get brain tumors, some of which, by the way, can be successfully treated. So it doesn't mean we have to feel negative or super nervous about it, but you may actually be in a position, knowledge is power, I want everybody to know, where a neurologist recommends doing an MRI of the brain. That is not going to be recommended for all cats, but okay. There might be some things that are seen on that neurologic exam where the doc says, let's look inside, because that is how you definitively say there's not other things going on. Okay. Now, so when we get to the point where we think this is likely some cognitive dysfunction syndrome, everybody wants to know, what does that mean? Is this going to impact my cat's quality or length of life? And what can I do to fix it or stop it? So the good news that it's not likely, highly likely, that cognitive dysfunction is going to significantly decrease quality or quantity of life for these kitties.
That's good. That's good
to know. There's things that we can do to manage. Now, on the other side of the coin, we don't have that magic pill. This is not like a bacterial infection where you take an antibiotic and you're cured. So we usually will recommend a bunch of different things that we do that are strategies to improve quality of life for a kitty that has cognitive dysfunction. Okay, so let's talk about what I call first do no harm. So we want to make sure that we modify the environment to make sure that the cat's life and quality of life is as great as possible. This might involve easier access to the litter box, good lighting, stable routines and reducing stressors, and also just making sure that the kitty is not put in harm's way, because maybe that kitty isn't going to be nimble and be able to jump out of the way. Again, maybe the kitty's going to take a fall. So you want to make sure the environment is modified, which I think is important to focus on first.
I've had to do that for a few of my cats that can't quite make it anymore up on the bed or can't quite jump from the table to the sofa. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we think about doing this for cats that have, you know, arthritis, other medical conditions where they can't jump. And it's equally important when we've got a cognitive dysfunction. You know, the other thing we want to do is stimulation. So we do have reason to believe that cats, just like people, will actually do better if they have some behavioral enrichment, mental stimulation to keep the brain active. So whatever that looks like for your cat. Now, we all know that some things that some cats love really stress out other cats. So that's for you and your cat to decide. Is it hiding spots because it de-stresses them? Is it regular gentle play? Is it toys, puzzle feeders, novel interactions? It's whatever is enriching and not stressful for that kitty.
Nice. I know my Peanut that I think is having the issues, he loves to be brushed. He still loves to be brushed. So that also seems to calm him down when he's doing his... So are there things that we can do like diet-wise to help the issue? Or is there any prevention to help that not happen?
So I will say there's a lot of research going on. So I'm very confident that what we have in our toolkit is going to change in the not too distant future. Lots of folks are actively researching this topic. What we know is that there is evidence that certain types of supplements in the diet and certain a nutrient profile in the diet has shown benefit. So we actually see diets that have recently come to market that are enriched in specifically high dose omega fatty acids, DHA and EPA are the two main ones, certain antioxidants, medium chain triglycerides. These are just some of the specific things in the diet that recent studies have shown can help brain health in cats. So there's a couple different pet food companies that actually have brought diets to the market recently. I will share, and I don't have stock in the company, but as a pet parent, my own kitty Oshi Karens, my delightfully overweight.
I have a couple of those too.
Trying to get him to lose some weight, but he has some arthritis, trying to get him to lose some weight to help with that. And he also does have the beginning of some early age-related cognitive decline. So he's been eating for the last year or so a diet by Hill's called Brain Care and JD. And again, this is just, you know, impression, right? It's not a scientific study, but I'm very pleased with how he eats the diet. He loves the taste. He's more interactive. I believe Purina has a similar diet. So there are some diets coming to the market specifically with massive research behind them by reputable pet food companies to address this in cats with this problem. Now, some of our Kitty Lovin' friends are going to be listening to this going, oh, well, I take all these supplements. My doctor told me to take these supplements that help with the brain. And then you'll hear all these things. A lot of us have heard about coenzyme Q10 for right. the brain. Okay, so we don't have any evidence-based data yet that those things definitively help cats. So my recommendation, if you're interested in some of these other supplements, is that you need to talk to your vet. Because you guys have heard me say every time I come on, even if we think something may, if you're like, well, I just want to try it. It's not going to, you know, it may not help, but let's try it. Let's make sure that specific supplement has been vetted, pun intended, by your vet.
Right.
Defer to the recommendation of your vet, because sometimes some of the other things in these supplements can actually be not good for the cat. So please talk to your veterinarian and then do what your veterinarian says to do related to what you're investigating. Okay. I believe we are likely to see some other things on the market. I keep reading in veterinary journals, research going on. There is no pharmacologic pill that is really a magic bullet treatment to turn this around or guaranteed to prevent this.
It's very interesting about the food, because I didn't know that there were some foods that actually help with this. Are they prescription diets or are they over-the-counter? Like, can you get them at Petco?
So I'm not sure about all of them that exist. I know that, it's a good question. I don't know, actually. I love when I tell your Kitty Lovin' friends, I don't know. Ask your veterinarian about these diets. And the reason is that I'm just thinking, I am a veterinarian.
Well, you're a veterinarian, so you don't have to worry about that.
How's that for honesty? So I don't know. I also know that the rules are different, even like, I think, country to country. So what I can say is if you're concerned about this, you're already going to be in a conversation with your veterinarian, and your veterinarian will be recommending. I say every time I come on and talk to you, nutrition is part of the medical toolkit, not only for states of illness, but in states of health. Proper nutrition is one of the biggest thing you can do to keep your cat feeling good for as long as possible, even if they don't have a medical condition. So you should be talking to your veterinarian about what they think the best food is for your cat. And then if your vet does need to get you that prescription for example, the Hill's Brain Care Plus JD or a different diet, they're going to do that for you or they'll tell you how to get it.
It's great that there's more research going into senior cats. I think they're living longer inside too. I have a 20-year-old who looks a lot healthier than my 16-year-olds. So you just can never tell. It's in the genetics too.
Well, and you know, we talk about this all the time. You know, cats, again, because they're not small dogs. I mean, small dogs do tend to live longer statistically than large breed dogs. But, you know, cats can live a really long time. And so this is why, as you know, we're both kind of passionate about older kitties. They're my favorite kind of kitty. But when we look at what the Feline Veterinary Medical Association considers to be a mature adult, it is 7 to 10 years of age.
I know, that's amazing. 7.
Seniors like 10 to 12, over 12 to 13, and we are objectively geriatric. So when you cross-reference that with how long cats live, cats in many instances are living half of their lifespan in that senior category, which is why it's so important. Age is not a disease. It is not a disease. So we're not going to hold that against our kitties, but we're going to be really proactive, going to the vet, having the conversation, getting the wellness exams done, getting the wellness lab work done so that we can figure out, do we have an early age-related organ condition that we can address early? Do we have an arthritis we can address early? Do we have some age-related cognitive dysfunction syndrome in the cat that we can address early? Right? That's the proactivity, because living longer does not mean living with a bad quality of life.
Right. Just like with people. I call the over 15 kitties I have super seniors because they're very, very senior. I'm very lucky. I've had a lot of them live to be in that age range. I want to talk for a second, let me back up and talk about nutrition, how important that is, you know, for their whole life. I had a friend that would only feed his cats, you know, canned tuna, human grade, you know, made for us, you know, circus tuna. And I always told him it was not a complete food. And I think that can also affect cognitive development. Is that true?
100%. 100%. And, you know, even if your kitty doesn't have any sort of cognitive dysfunction, it is so critical that all animals have proper nutrition, but cats in particular. One of the many ways they're magical creatures is they are metabolically completely different than dogs or people. They have different metabolism. They have different dietary requirements. And so even a cat that's not an older cat has to have a diet that is formulated for the cat. You know, one of the things we've talked about before is how a cat cannot be a vegetarian its whole life. That cat will develop life-threatening problems related to dietary deficiencies. It's what we say cats are obligate carnivores. Now, when we have an older cat, they have to have adjusted protein, fat, and carbohydrate balance. They have to have different levels of things to balance what the older cat body needs. It's just very, very important.
Yeah, I use for my super seniors, I have this food that's seven years plus, and they love it. And I just assume it's formulated a little differently for the senior cat body.
And also, a lot of these older cat diets on the market will also do things to increase palatability, because whether the cat's, you know, doesn't smell as well because the kitty's getting older, or maybe there is an underlying medical condition where their appetite can be a little bit intermittently off or picky, we want to make sure that that diet is palatable, and that has to not only do with the taste and the smell, but the feel of the diet. So there's actually a whole bunch of research that's gone into what's called the mouth feel. Like we know we say some cats are those dry food only cats. They'll only eat dry food. Some cats actually like the feel of the hard kibble. You know, other cats want diet that's shaped. Or let's get into wet food, where some cats will only eat pate and they will not chew those chunks. And some cats really want those chunk diets with the gravy. You know, cats want what cats want. So when we get a kitty that's older, it's also really important that we're feeding a diet that the cat wants to eat.
Mealtime at my house is crazy because some of them eat the gravy, some of them eat the pate. And then when I was having these issues with my boo-boo, if you guys follow me on social media, he had an abscess, and it's true. And because of his kidney values and his age, we really couldn't put him under to have the tooth pulled. But his palatability, as you put it, he wanted things that were very runny. I had to take he liked pate, and I had to like mix warm water in with it, or get those that are just like a thick kind of, they're not gravy, but it's a thicker, like a custard consistency. Now that he's feeling better, he's back to eating things a little more solid, but you have to watch because what they want mouthfeel wise can change.
That's so true, Rhea. That's such a good point. And if what they want in that mouthfeel changes, you know what I'm going to say about that is you got to look for the why and make sure, again, like to your point, what you said, your kitty had an oral abscess. Sometimes we find that there's some dental disease where maybe we are, and your kitty, you couldn't do that general anesthesia, but maybe it's as simple as pulling a couple teeth.
I knew he was feeling better when he was going over to the hard food again, because my cats eat both.
Yeah.
And I actually used to have a cat that would only eat dry food. So I also want to say, don't give up on the wet food. Just try different textures and different brands. I finally found one that Lulu will eat. So now she eats a wet and dry food diet. I don't like feeding exclusively either or. Do you have any last words of wisdom for us about dealing with these wonderful senior kitties?
I love senior kitties so much, Rita. Okay, well, let me just maybe recap for Key 11 friends that actionable toolkit. Right? We're going to expect that as our cat gets older, just like with us as humans, there could be more likely to be an overall decline in organ function, immune response, some slower movements, maybe even increased chance for arthritis, maybe even some age-related changes in the brain. But pay attention to what your cat is telling you. Any changes in the activity, the behavior of your kitty, if your kitty is doing anything that is different, simply go to your vet, have an exam, have a conversation. Proactivity is key. Your vet is here to partner with you and take you down the path of what we think is going to be best, most efficient, and effective to figure out what's going on with your cat. And age is not a disease.
If you don't like your vet or he's not listening to you, find another one. It's really important to have a good relationship. I'm very lucky. My veterinarian's awesome. I can even text him things and he'll say, do you have any of this left? Give him that, you know, because he knows my cats. He knows I have so many. So really cultivate that relationship and don't be afraid to ask questions. And if your vet discourages questions, find a new one.
You bet. It is a partnership. So it's got to feel right for you. It's got to feel right for you. Also, look to see if your vet has any sort of membership plan, right?
Yes, mine does. Yeah.
Yeah. Like our Thrive hospitals do. And you could go in and then now you don't have to pay for each exam. You know, it takes a little bit of that barrier off to just get you in the door. And then depending upon what kind of membership plan is offered, there's often discounts on other things or packages and things like that. And you know what I'm going to say again, control the controllable. Please get pet insurance.
Yeah. I can't do it for 16 cats. But.
I know. I hear you. And they're not all the same. So you have to research, talk to your vet too. I guarantee you, if you strike up a conversation with your vet will have a point of view based upon their experience. And like, we don't work for the insurance companies, right? So we're going to have an objective opinion based upon our experience with different insurance companies to share with you and go through what your needs are so you can make a decision. Right? Because we want you to have the resources available to provide for the care when your kitty needs it.
So you want to give your cat the longest, healthiest life possible. And I told my 20-year-old, you're going to live to be 30, right? Because she doesn't look like she's 20. So we'll see how long I get her for. Thank you so much for coming back on 19 Cats and Counting. We've missed you. Welcome back to our fold here. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank Mark Winter for giving me this awesome platform and holding it open for me when I went through my, it's coming up on a year that I've lost my mom. So I can't believe it. It's still hard to believe, but I want to thank you all for sticking with me and all you listeners too. Thank you for sticking by me. Don't forget to visit RitaReimers.com and listen for me on Pet Life Radio. Thanks so much and we'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.